eyes. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Man, let's all stand. We're going to change over the service this evening. Looking forward to hearing about the mission trip and continuing. You know, what a blessing it is. You get a text from somebody in the Philippines, but they say they're praying for you. Somewhere around the world, it's just amazing that the outreach we have, amen, and how God's working in the body of Christ. And there are many needs, amen. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Good evening, saints. Trust everyone's doing well by the grace of the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And we're going to see how this contraption works. It says it sounds good, and so I'm not too good about having microphones around my head. I like them more in my hand, but we're going to try it and see. So, I trust everyone's doing well. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. You notice that the scriptures I've just been reading, it's been missionary minded scriptures, and, because the importance of mission work, it wasn't invented or just one of the disciples came up with it. It was Jesus' own words. And we'll read a quote here in just a moment that where Brother Branham says something very interesting here. But in Mark chapter 16, let's just bow our heads before we read the word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to serve you, Lord Jesus, and to open back the pages of your word, Father. Thank you for bringing us here, Lord. And Father God, we just realize, Lord, that we're insufficient without you, Lord Jesus. So we pray, O God, that you would, Father, just come in our midst, Lord, and have your way, Father, here tonight, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Father God. Inspire us, Lord, through your word. And Lord Jesus, that this last part, Father, of the trip, Lord God, that you gave us and you directed us, Lord Jesus, may it be a blessing, Father God, to those watching and even to those that will watch later, Lord Jesus. We just commit ourselves into your hands now and the requests, everyone, Father God, that was mentioned into your hands, Lord, this evening. We pray these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And in order for them to be damned, they would have to have disbelieved the word first. So Jesus has given here an opportunity for everyone to hear the gospel. Amen. But in order for them to be damned, they would have to reject the gospel, right? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice how everything is so positive. They shall. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this afternoon, this evening. Let's read this quote here. Brother Branham says the following in the message, End Time Evangelism. He says, we know redemption is nigh. Amen. See, something's fixing to take place. Now the world doesn't see that. They laugh at it because like they did in other days, but we know that it's coming near. Amen. If you don't live in this hour, amen, if you don't realize something is going on, you're hiding in a rock. You feel like you just want to stay here but I'm telling you what, things are happening so fast around us. And, the only thing to do nowadays, saints, is just grab onto him. Amen. Amen. There's nothing else. You have no hopes in bank accounts. You have no hopes in the stock market. You have no hopes. Amen. Only hope is in his word and what he showed you through his word. Amen. This message that he's given us. Amen. And that's the reason I chose this subject, Brother Branham says, for the tabernacle on end time evangelism. And when we are doing mission work or foreign mission with the word of God, we know we're always in the will of God. Because Jesus' first commission to his church was go out and preach the gospel. That was his first commission to his church. This last commission was to preach the gospel also. The first time he ever ordained any persons to preach the word and go throughout the country, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. As freely as you have received, freely give. In St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Sending out the 72 by two. That was the first commission he gave to his church. Now, the last commission he gave to his church, just before he was received up into glory, he said, go ye into all the world. Amen. So, beginning, and it ends the same way. Amen. He had just risen from the dead. Amen. So we're always, whenever we're in missions, we're always in the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And, you know, this beautiful places and beautiful things to see. Amen. But, when they put a schedule for you, you really don't have time for that. And so, but, I really learned this in this trip that, we should rest because, really back to back working, it really hurts. So, as I mentioned Sunday, you know, there were several days where it's like 5 days straight, and some of those days preaching two or three times in a day. And it really catches on to you. You think, oh, no, y'all be fine. No, it really catches up to you. But, so it was just something that I learned for next time. Because, you also at the same time, you don't want it to be a stumbling block to, you know, to your children as well. You know, they get tired too. So one of them, Zoe was saying, we're going to hear Poppy again. And then Brother Eric's little son, you know, because Brother Eric was the one who was riding us around in Honduras to the different churches. And his little boy, I think he's like 3 years old, 4 years old. Yeah, he's 4 years old. He said, oh, we're going to hear Brother Luis again. So, yeah, but. Thank God for their patience. All right. So, last time we left, we were down here in El Banquito. In Choluteca. Choluteca, Honduras. This is the border right here with Nicaragua and Honduras. Yeah, right here. And so, that's where we left at. So, next. All right. So, we were here in this area called El Tambor. And in El Tambor is where Brother Eric's father-in-law, who is the pastor there, and so he was, before we had service with them that evening, he wanted us to come and see if we could pray for these individuals. This little young brother right here, he has a form of autism, but he's like 40 something years old. He's never been able to walk. He's just been, pretty much just bedridden. And so his dad, who you'll see in just a moment, Brother Cornelio, he asked that we pray for him. And so we went over to their house and prayed for them. Next. Now this is that young man's, that little brother's grandmother. She's 94 years old and, still has a sharp mind. She's the Honduran version of Sister Cleta. Yeah. Sharp mind, and she remembers a lot of things. I mean, she was talking to us like she was just a teenager. So it's really good to meet her. And this is Brother Robert. This is Brother Eric's father-in-law, who's a pastor there in that area. Next. All right. So this is Brother Cornelio. This is on a phone call that I was with him about 2 weeks ago. And I want to show you something here real quick. The Brother Cornelio, who he's the father of the young man that was in the hammock. Next. Now, Brother Cornelio, for several weeks before we came over there, he was praying to the Lord. And he asked the Lord that when Brother Luis would come, maybe I could make this request to him. And this is his house right here. And so he has to take his son and pretty much almost try to carry him everywhere he goes, to go use the bathroom, everything. And it's been like that for 40 something years. And so Brother Cornelio now, he's in his late 60s. It's been very, very tough for him. So what they wanted to do is he requested that if he could build a little room right next to his home right here in this area, and where there would be a bathroom right there, everything needed for that young man to not have to move him around to different places. So we just put it before the Lord, prayed for him, and I really felt led upon my heart that part of the money that you all offered, he needed. I asked him, I said, how much did you need to build the little room? He said, he told me the amount, which would equal to about $3,000. So we gave him $1,600, right there on the spot. And he got to start it. He got to working right away. Next. So this is another picture of that area next. And this is what they've built now within the last two or three weeks. So we gave him the $1,600, and we're probably maybe I'm trying to see if we could get the other $1,600 1,300, something like that. And the other $1,300 so that they could finish the roof to the place. So you all pray about that if you want to help with that, so that way we can finish this room for them. But he was praying, and he was just so thankful to the Lord. He wasn't expecting that. And I said, well, Brother Cornelio, I said, listen, you won't know unless you ask. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. You see, and if you don't seek, you won't find. So he was just very humble, and so that's what they've gotten done so far. Next. And he's been just updating me with what they've been doing, and so really, really wonderful. All right, so that night, this is Brother Robert's church, that the brother, Brother Eric's father-in-law, and we had service there that night, and so this is just a little bit of the, turn it up a little bit. So there was about maybe two or three churches that came to the service as well, from other areas. Next. All right, next. All right, next. Next. This is some of the church, one of the churches. They're leaving and packing the truck.
Adios, Dios le bendiga.
Dios le bendiga. God bless you. That means God bless you. All right, this is Brother Robert. This is Eric's little boy. I just thought that picture was cute, so I'm gonna put him in there. He's a fine-looking young boy. Next. All right, so from there we went the following day. We went to El Banquito, which was about an hour or so away from where we were at, where the church you just now saw. And this is Brother Emeterio. Brother Emeterio, he's one of the oldest pastors there in at the first church, Message Church, that was founded there in Honduras. And so Brother Emeterio, I believe he's in his 80s, if I'm not mistaken, mid 80s. It doesn't look like it though. And so we had service there. He has a really nice church. So in this area, in El Tambor, it was where the message was first taken to Honduras. From this place, it's been spread throughout all a lot of places in Honduras. Next. And this is song service there that evening. Bella's playing the violin back there. Okay, next. All right, next. Okay, so this is one of the little young sisters after the service. Next. All right, and then one of the brothers, they invited us to eat at their home. So we ate at their home. Here, there's Brother Emeterio, and there's Zoe with the little girl. Then afterwards, this is at their home. The brother that invited us is him right here, and he asked if we could pray for his family and pray for his home. And so this area right here has a lot of people that live here in the United States. They got family relatives in Florida, Virginia, Maryland, Tennessee. As a matter of fact, if some of you know who Brother Danny Torres is from Tennessee, this is Brother Emeterio, the older brother, the pastor. That's Brother Danny Torres' father-in-law. So, next. Now this is the brother, and I could not remember his name, but this is the brother that took the message to Honduras. Now it went, I believe it was in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken, or 70s, something like that. But actually it might have been earlier than that, but it wasn't really, it was transitioning. He was a Pentecostal, but believed in Brother Branham and had heard Brother Branham, and took that baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ to this area. And from there, others started coming to the area, and they was preaching the message to them. So, all right. And so here, this is Brother Hub, and the reason why I have him here, he was taking the pictures. Brother Hub is from another area in Honduras, and he wanted to go on this trip with us to the other side of Honduras where we were at. And so the following day, next, he asked if we could go pray for his grandmother, who was in the hospital sick in the local area. So we went and prayed for her. She's not a believer, from what I understand, just a Catholic lady, but she was really, really touched by the fact that some random person wanted to go to the hospital and pray for her. So that's what we did. And, she was feeling much better when we left there. So thank God. All right. So, that evening we had service in another area, called El Triunfo. And in El Triunfo, they planned for us to be there. The whole place was packed out, and there was about three more churches outside of the building. So there was about maybe six churches altogether in this. So we really, really had a good time there that evening. It was hot, but I really enjoyed myself preaching that evening. Here's Bella and Christine singing a special. I'll let y'all watch this here for a moment. Next. All right. Afterwards, we had a prayer line, and so everybody coming up for prayer. We also gave out the handkerchiefs, and there was something that here when we were giving out the handkerchiefs, and the brother right here, he's a young brother. He's stepping in because the pastor of the church here, he's very sick. And he's got diabetes, and I believe they cut some of his toes off. And so he really can't stand and minister. So he's pretty much taken over right now. And, but when I told him about the little handkerchiefs, and it was like almost all of them just wanted one. And so we tried to give as many as we could, and then I just gave the rest to the brother, and I said at another time, just give it to him. Next. And this is afterwards. We had some fellowship outside. Next. This is one of the buses that had come for the service that day, that evening. I believe maybe there was maybe three churches in there. All right. And then this is the pastor there at the church. And he fellowships. He's in his right mind and everything. It's just that he's gotten much older now and not really able to minister anymore. Next. All right. So that evening, that was on the 30th, right? It was like it was December 30th when we were there. Something like that. And we needed to head back back to where Brother Eric and where they live, which is about 4 hours away, almost 5 hours away. That same evening, we needed to be back there. And so this is us just stopping and getting us some snacks. And it was probably like 1 a.m. there. Next. All right. So the following day, while we were there in Choluteca, where we were ministering to those churches, we had bought Brother Eric's wife a tin where she could have some, a lot of rice, a plastic bin. So we went out and bought her a like 25 pounds of rice. And that's me doing the work. It wasn't heavy. This was Bella was working while we were there in Talanga. And this is the little store where she was working at. This is Brother Eric's wife and her mother-in-law. They sell tortillas in this place. And that's why it's called Tortilleria. And so that's how they make some money, and they help support themselves. And so Bella was there helping them. They also, this is Eric's mother. She's very entrepreneurial. And during the December, they sell fireworks. There's a big, big business there in December. So, next. All right. So on the 31st of December, we had a watch night service that evening. And, this is at Brother Eric and this is at their church. Next. And we had a lot of specials that evening. It probably went to about 11 o'clock at night. Next. This is a little boy giving a special. All right, next. Okay, that's me ministering there. Next. By the time I came out, everybody was already tired. Already specialed out. Already testified out. So it was but afterwards we had some late dinner with everyone and had some fellowship afterwards. Next. Here's some of the young people from Brother Eric's church. Next. All right, this little girl right here, Sudi is her name. When I was eating there at one of the tables, she asked me, she said, how does it feel to have a dad? And it was just a random question. And I said, it's a wonderful feeling and I was just kind of talking to her. And so she came to my wife and was asking her the same, kind of the same things. Come to find out, she told us the story. She said that she had seen her dad when she was younger. She's 10, 11, 9. When she was younger, she saw her dad laying on the street. He got shot. He got killed. And so she didn't know what had happened to him. And so she lost her father at a very young age. So I'd ask that you all pray for her because she has this thing that's really... It's bothering her for her not to have a dad. She's grown up without a dad. And my wife was able to minister to her in the way because she's lost her father. So my wife, Christine, really connected with her. So Just remember her in your prayers. Next. All right. So the following day after we had, had that watch night service, we got to bed maybe at what, 2 in the morning. We only got maybe like 1 hour of sleep and, had to leave out about 3:30 in the morning. Back to the, other side of Honduras where we were preaching, where the bus was at, because that's where the border, to Honduras and Nicaragua, the best place to get, to cross was that area. So we drove out. This is us right here at the border. And, these is some of the men. They're trying to take our luggage. And you have to kind of be careful with these men. They want to help out, but they really want to help out. They're going to try to take as much money from you as possible. So next, just kind of pointing out we were kind of around right here now. Next. So it was, as Zoe is with only less than no sleep. She had not gotten sleep that morning. That's us trying to cross over. Next. This is my face trying to deal with these guys. And, because they tell you one thing. They say, listen, I'll take your things. We'll cross over to the border to Nicaragua and, for a certain price. And when you get there, they start quoting you another price. And I said, wait a second. No, you told me this price. And when you call them out, they're like, okay, yeah, you're right. Next. This is us. This is me and Bella. Since this was January the 1st, usually it's, there's more traffic going on, but, hardly anybody was awake that morning. Everybody had partied and drunk the night before, so we easily got through. It was just very hot. This is right here at the border of Honduras and Nicaragua. Next. It was so laid back. This is at the immigration in Nicaragua that, you know, they have, you know, don't use your cell phone. They have, you know, things that don't use your cell phone. And I was using my cell phone and it was before I had seen the sign. Christine pointed that out. But when we were here crossing the border, they were looking at me kind of strange because I was walking with three girls, mine, and they look like minors because Christine, you know, looks just like she's my daughter. So they're looking at me strange and they're asking me, who is this? And I said, that's my wife. And then when they would see it in the passport, okay. They thought I was smuggling children over across the border. But after all that, we got through just fine. Brother Nilsson, who you'll see here in a little bit, Brother Nilsson and Brother Giovanni, who's his brother. He's the pastor. Brother Nilsson is the pastor here in Chinandega, Nicaragua. This is now Nicaragua. And this is his church here. So the following day after we crossed over, we had service here. Next. This is a song service at Brother Nilsson's church. They have some excellent musicians here at this church. Next. That's Brother Nilsson's wife, by the way, who was playing there with Bella. This is the church where my wife was saying that she testified last Sunday where she had that heat stroke. It doesn't look hot, but it was hot. And they told us that day when I was preaching there, and I wasn't feeling well, I was already coming down with something. Because from here, we were getting ready to go, to the jungles, about a day or two later. But that got delayed, and that we didn't end up going to that because several people were sick, including me. And, but I believe it was the will of the Lord for us not to go. But, they said that day when we preached there, it was the hottest that they had ever seen in the church. And I've preached there several times, but didn't see it any different from any other time. But they said it was the hottest, so I guess it affected Christine. Next. Next. All right, this is Chinandega. Just to, if you could turn it up a little bit.
Little taste of some of the streets of Chinandega, Nicaragua, and the activity that goes on. We're parked right here next to a car. So we're like taking up a bunch of space.
We're creating traffic.
Look,
there's a horse coming.
Yeah, here comes a horse. Bicycles, everything.
Horse. No one's mad at us.
Yeah, no one's upset. Nobody's honking.
No.
Life goes on.
Next. All right. Just kind of get idea, a little traffic. Chinandega is a very nice little city kind of town, but it gets busy. All right, so since we didn't end up, this is Brother Nilsson, by the way, and since we didn't end up going to La Mosquitia, which is on the west coast, on the east coast of Nicaragua, we had to cancel that. Several people were sick, including the interpreter that was going to go over there to interpret, because over there in that area they have their own dialect, and so you can preach in Spanish, but you have to have somebody interpreting into their dialect, and the interpreter was sick himself. So I said, Brother Nilsson, it's probably not the will for us to go, not the will of the Lord for us to go, so we didn't go. But we ended up scheduling, setting up to visit other places that needed to be visited as well. And when Brother Nilsson was setting up those places, I mean, they were just coming up like that, you know? Like, so we knew that it was, that's where the Lord was leading us. So this is us heading to one of the places right here. We're heading to Manchones, Nicaragua next. And it's a mountainous area. And, just beautiful. Next. Next. All right, so we visited Brother Vicente. I forgot the brother's name now, but this is his church, and the brother, he's an older brother. He's the one who pretty much evangelized this whole area, that whole mountain area place there, since the 70s. When he heard the message in 1976, if I'm not mistaken. Next. And this is his little church right there. And so we started having service. We had about three-day service there from, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Next. This is some of the sisters from there in that area. Next. This is the pastor there, the brother. And, he had not spoken in a while, but that evening he wanted to just kind of testify. And gives and just let the congregation know, and just we really enjoyed it. Next. So afterwards we had this is some of the church age books that some of the brethren that Brother George Smith and them had provided to them, and we had taken them over to them in this area, and we gave them out, and so there's a picture of them receiving it. Next. This is the pastor here, and just it's real wonderful to hear, you know, his testimony of how the Lord dealt with him, and you know, by the Lord dealing with him and what he did, you know, there's a church and several churches in other places around the region as well. Next. And this is the pastor's son, and so this is the day when we were heading back to another area called Plan de Grama, which was about an hour and 20 minutes, from where we were at right here in Manchones. Next. And this is the church here in Plan de Grama. This is the pastor there, Plan de Grama. You pray for the brother. The brother, he had a fall, about a year or so ago. also had COVID, and something with that fall caused him it messed him up in his head mentally. He hit the side of his face, and so whenever he would get up to preach, to minister, he would always just minister the same thing over and over and over. And they knew something was wrong. And so whenever you talk with him, whenever he talks to you, he always talks to you about the same subject. And it's like he's never, you know, so y'all just remember the brother in prayer. He knows something's wrong. And so just difficult things that churches are going through as well, you know. Amen. This is ministering there that one of those evenings. And then this is some of the people there at the church. Next. You can turn it up a little bit.
I just got through a service. Getting ready to go to the little place called Plan de Grama. Brother Isaias, you're next to me. Brother Ninson. Brother Hannes. Hannes.
Nombre suyo, hermano.
Raquel.
I'm terrible with names.
Hannes. And his wife back there. We got Brother Alan back there. Brother. I didn't even do a number. I forget all these people's names.
I can't remember names. I'll remember faces all day long, but they slipped me. All right. So after we just had wonderful services there. I could tell you all different testimonies there when we were there in Manchones, Plan de Grama. But afterwards, this is back in this area right here is a piece of land that about 2 years ago I had requested, if some of you brethren could help pay for the, it was just recently. This is the piece of land that we helped pay, where they're going to start building the church. And so I wanted to visit that piece of property. And this is some of the people at the church. This is Brother Alan. This is his dad. And he's a pastor there in the capital of Managua, in Nicaragua. And Brother Alan is kind of, helping this group. He's not their pastor, but he's just kind of helping this group, and the group is growing. It's more than these. It's just that's who was there at the moment. Next. Okay. So actually this kind of got out of order. I put this picture here because while we were up in the mountains in Manchones in Nicaragua, Bella had her birthday. She turned 15. And so, I hate that I wasn't there with her, but, we made it up with her for her. 15-year-old there in Central and in Latin America is like a sweet 16 here in the States. So it's a big deal over there. So next. And so this is, them at Brother Nilsson's, mom's house, and the brother's playing the drums on the laptop. All right, next. Okay, and this is some of the little kids there at Brother Nilsson. This is Brother Nilsson's son. And then some of the other little kids there at his church. In that region, there's a lot of volcanoes. So, very beautiful though. And they're active as well. Next. All right, so Bella and my wife and Zoe, while we were still up in the mountains, they were having service at the same hot church. Next, in Chinandega. This is Zoe playing a special. I think Bella is singing with Brother Nolvin. All right. Now, this is the little house right here that we helped build last year for the couple who had lost their little baby. So they go to Brother Nilsson's church. And so while I was up in the mountains, my wife, she visited them. They were only about 8 blocks away from the church. This is the little house right here that you all helped out with. Next. This is inside. This is brother, the brother. Next. This is where they wash their dishes. Next. And so that's them. They send their greetings and to you all, by the way. It would have been 4 of them, but they lost their little one. All right. This is the property right here that I was telling you all that we helped pay for. It's been paid for. Thank God. They had a loan on it, but by the grace of God, it's been paid for. And now they're going to start building pretty soon. Next. And they're all going to do the work themselves. Next. Okay, so one of the places that we had planned to go was to an island called the Island of Ometepe. And that island is one of the seven wonders of the world, if I'm not mistaken, because it's an island that has 2 volcanoes on an island, 2 active volcanoes, several miles in between. And it's people go there, tourists go there, from Europe, United States. But there's also a church there, a Methodist church. There are several believers there. So we went over there to visit them because they don't get visited much. And so that's where we were heading there, right here in this picture. Next. This is the island where we're heading to the island. This is one of the volcanoes. It's located in the middle of a lake. So, and one of the volcanoes has a lake inside the volcano. So you can actually get inside that water, and it's warm water. Next. All right, and this is the pastor there. I believe his name is Brother Juan, and we're just having some fellowship after one of the services. We had about 3-day services there. Next. And then we had a service outside of the sister's home right here, and we had a really good time. You know, people were driving by, tourists were walking by, and they were just wondering what was going on while we were having church. Amen. Next. And we preached there about he's the vine and ye are the branches. Next. This brother right here, he's that sister's son, and he's a nominal man, but he was really touched by the message, and wanted to go and visit the church, the have service with us the next day. And next, and this is Christine with the sister. She's one of the veteran message believers there in that area. Next. This is one of the volcanoes there as we were driving by. Beautiful. Next. And this is the lake right here. And this is me and Zoe when we had some leisure time as the sun was going down. Next. This is Bella. That was the following morning. Zoe wanted to really, really go swimming, so we made sure we did that, because I did too. And this is one of the services. This is at Brother Juan's church right here. Next. Just wanted to point this out. Next. Go back. Go back, brother. Pause it. This sister right here, right before we had this last service, Brother Juan and another brother from the church, they wanted to go and visit the sister and her family. And so she was, the Lord was dealing with her, and she wasn't a Christian, but we were able to talk to her about the Lord. She has a son who has a problem health wise. We talked to her about the Lord, just shared the gospel with her and her brother, and we led her to the Lord that afternoon, and she came to the Lord. And that evening she wanted to come She wanted to come to church. And, you know, she had the option to get baptized because the lake was just right across the street. Hopefully she makes that decision. She didn't right there and then, but we just thank God for that. Next. I was given one of my animated presentations. Dog at church. Next. All right, afterwards we had prayer for the sick. Next. And in that area they have monkeys. So you could look in the trees and you could just see monkeys. This is the only one we saw, but they're all over the place. I didn't put this picture up, but it was funny, because as we found this monkey to us, oh wow, look at that monkey up there, and we were videoing, and there was two other little kids that live in the area just sitting over there on the side of the curve, and they had their phones. And they were just sitting there on their phone, monkeys up there, like we see that every day. But to us it was wow. Next. This is some of the area there. Next. All right. One of the evenings we had a little fellowship. Just. Next. Okay. This is some of Brother Juan's family in that area. Next. And there was this place there that I love ice cream, and we ate coconut ice cream, homemade coconut ice cream with a bunch of coconut in it. And we bought ice cream for like 10 of them. They would go with us, mostly young people, kids, you know, and you'd give, look at the size of this right here. And we bought about maybe 10 of those. It was only like $14 for the whole thing. And it was just very cheap. And we ate ice cream almost every night. That's why I gained 6 pounds. So this is us, when we left the island, or we were getting ready to leave. I can't remember exactly, but we were heading back now. Next. And that morning, it's when we were gonna cross over into Costa Rica. Next. And this is me taking a little nap on the ship, on the boat. Because from the island to the mainland, it was about an hour or hour or so. And so this is me taking a little nap. Next. All right. And so this is us here at the border of Nicaragua and Costa Rica now. We're getting ready to cross over. Next. Now this is us crossing over. So now we are right here where we crossed over. Next. All right, and we met up with Brother Eric Chacon. Brother Eric Chacon, who's the pastor there, who was going to receive us in Grecia, Costa Rica. He picked us up, met us there at the border. From where he lives in Grecia to the border there, it's about 4 hours. 4 hours. So he picked us up and we went to go visit Brother Daniel Vado, who is one of the pastors there, there in Costa Rica. He's more closer to the coast there. Next. This is, us in that region where Brother Daniel Vado's church is, in Guanacaste, Costa Rica. Next. So that evening we had service here, and this is Brother Daniel's church. Brother Daniel Vado, I didn't have a picture here of him, but he has a powerful testimony. He was suffering with cancer, if I'm not mistaken, and the Lord healed him from that. I mean, he was to the point of death, and he tells us amazing testimony of things that he saw, people coming in the room. And just supernatural things that took place while he was, Lord raised him up, and he's pastoring the church. And, just a wonderful testimony that he had. but that's just kind of it in a nutshell. That evening we when we preached there, there was two young men who were just recently coming to the church. And you know, as a minister, sometimes you don't know what you're going to preach, and so you kind of turn back maybe to some previous notes that you've had, and maybe the Lord's leading you to them. So I did that, and I ministered that evening, and I ministered on eating the lamb, and it really touched their hearts, because they were on the fence about getting baptized, and about what the new birth was about, and you know. And they told Brother Daniel Bado, the pastor there, they messaged him or that evening. One of them said that they wanted to get baptized the next day, and so the next day, when the next day rolled around, he decided not to, only because when he told his mother, who is a staunch Catholic, that he was going to go do that, she really got upset with him. So he held off, but was going to get baptized at a later time. And I believe Brother Daniel, he's sending me some pictures. I believe he did get baptized, and the other young man he got baptized as well. So at least we planted the seed. Somebody else did the work. Amen. But the seed was planted there, and God does the increase. Amen. Next. This is Brother Daniel, who's the pastor there. This is at the church. In Costa Rica, they're very more strict in regards to following the COVID guidelines. And so that's why you see a lot of the spacing and the masking. Next. And this is one of the places there near the church. They're just right there, right off the coast. And I just couldn't help myself. I told my wife, I said, I'm just gonna dip my feet in the water. And me and Zoe, you know, cause Zoe wanted to get in the water, and it ended up being, everything was in the water afterward. And then Zoe was like, Zoe said, Papi, are you really, okay. She got in it. And so, yeah, next. Next. All right. So afterwards, after we visited Brother Daniel Bado, we drove four hours back to Grecia, Costa Rica, and this is Brother Eric Chacon's church, the brother that picked us up from the border, and this is us having service Sunday morning. Next. So what they did is, in order to keep the guidelines, COVID guidelines, they would just keep, families together, you know, and so this is his church there. Next. This is just right outside of his church and the view. Next. Next. All right. So while we were there, we were out. If you want to pause it for a moment. That was the last service of the trip, by the way. I was like, yes. But no at the same time, you know, cause you knew that we were getting ready to leave. And, while we were getting our COVID test, they had prepared, we didn't know anything about it, but when we came back after getting the COVID test for us to be able to get on the plane the next day to fly back, they did like a little surprise party for Bella. And then we came back, and so they got her a cake and some of the young people there, and they started singing happy birthday to her. Next. You can play it. This right here, the older sister there is Brother Eric Chacon's mother-in-law, which is her mother, that's Brother Eric's wife. And Bella just really got, you know, taking a liking to her, and they really just to each other. And so So this is the last night there before our trip. They took us kind of sightseeing in the area. This church right here is a Catholic church, a very, very old church. And we were down here in the steps. And I looked on the ground, and I noticed the ground was moving. And when we looked down, it was just trails of ants everywhere. And I'm talking about some big ants. And it was just interesting. It looked kind of strange. Next. All right, so Brother Eddie, the following day, took us to the airport. This is us getting ready to walk through security, and this is our final picture there before our trip was over. And so, next. This is us heading back. And so here, I just wanted to thank you all for your prayers. Thank you very much for your patience too throughout this this presentation. And God bless you all. And we'll see when the Lord opens doors for us to go again. Yeah. By the way, this is a big old turtle head. Made out of stone. So, all right. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, we can turn on the lights. Yeah. There are so many details and things we could go through, but we'd have 2 weeks worth of presentations. I know maybe some of the young people, some of the kids would like that, but. But, yeah, I appreciate each one of you, and I tell you what, you know, and I encourage, you know, our young people, I encourage anyone that, you know, if we ever make a trip out there, and if you really feel pressed on your heart, you know, to come with us, we'd be more than glad to have you with us, especially our young people. I think if you get an experience like that, you know, you'd come back appreciating what you have here more, and appreciate things a little bit better and see things maybe in a different way. And so it's just wonderful to be to see other people who are pressing on just like you are. And I would always tell them, listen, we're battling over there in the States the same devil that you all are battling. It's the same devil. I mean, they have difficulties, but I tell them, but the devil up there is the same devils. They're just a little bit more sophisticated, the ones we battle here. They hide themselves a little bit better. Over there, they're just plain, you know. Yeah. And so, but you pray for those people there and pray that the Lord would continue doing the works in the many lives that the Word has touched. And we just thank God for giving us the strength and for using us in those places. And we just appreciate you all for pitching in. Amen. Financially and with your prayers. So let's stand to our feet this evening. Amen. We're just going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to have the musicians come. By the way, do we have anything we need to mention? Just remember Brother Richard Hyatt. He'll be with us this weekend. He'll be preaching both services. The brothers down there, they asked me, when are you coming back? I mean, it's just like you just left, even before you leave. When are you coming back? So you all pray for us. We don't know. We don't know what will happen from now until then. But if the Lord has us to be there again, we'll be there. Maybe the next time around, we'll be able to visit those jungle areas where we didn't get to go last time. Who knows why we didn't get to go? It was just very interesting that we had already planned for 6 months to go to that place, and in a day, it was. I was sick. Brother Nilsson was sick. The interpreter brother was sick. His brother Nilsson's dad had gotten sick and was taken to the hospital, and so Brother Nilsson didn't want to be 12 hours away from where his dad was at. And his dad already worries when he goes to those places, so it just really didn't pan out. But you see, if we had gone, then that maybe that young sister who accepted the Lord would not have accepted the Lord. So it's just the Lord does things, and we don't know We don't know why, but he knows all the details, the ins and the outs. And we just want to obey. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, in this hour. Lord, we appreciate you, Heavenly Father. Lord, Father, some of us, Father God, may we go maybe visit foreign countries, Lord, but Lord Jesus, you called us, Father, in your word to be missionaries, Father, wherever we go, Lord. Father, maybe it's our next door neighbor or maybe someone out here next to, living here next to the church or maybe a family member, Lord God. Lord Jesus, mission starts at home, Father. I pray that you'd help us, Father God, to always keep that vision, Lord. We here at this, as this church, Brother Dale, Father, has taught us, Lord God, to be mission-minded, to have that vision, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, for a pastor who's had that vision, Lord Jesus. And we just appreciate you. Help us, Lord God, to have a burden, Father God, for those, Lord, who are struggling, Father, and who need, Lord Jesus, someone to give them a little push, Father God, to continue, Father, in this walk, Father God. We love you, Father. We thank you. Continue to meet our needs amongst us, Father, for there are many, Lord. But, Father God, we know that you're more than able, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just commit ourselves now into your hands. And we thank you. We ask you these things now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
The light of the world. Life and mercy.
What number, Brother Boy? What number?
142. Jesus, the light of the world.
142.
Huh. Who's the light?
We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the Jesus, the light of the world, send the gospel true to all. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light, beauty. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Why not? Why not seek him then? Today, Jesus, the light of the world, go it through the narrow way, Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light. Drops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Touch him, Heavenly Father, that he
come
Father,
confess him as your King.
Lord, just, Heavenly
Father.
Jesus,
Lord, and raise him up, Lord God. And if he doesn't know you, Lord, as Savior, may this situation, Lord, bring him, Father, to repentance, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God, we know that you're more than able. We commit it into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let us know how it comes about.
We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus,
into your hands, Lord God, as she's going to have the surgery, Lord Jesus. Father God, this hip, Lord God. Oh, Father, may you just, Heavenly Father, intervene, Lord God, for our sister, Lord. Touch her, Lord. May you guide the hands, Father, of the surgeons, Lord. And may you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, let everything go okay, Lord God, that she would have a speedy recovery, Lord God. Granted, Lord Jesus, we put her into your hands, for you are the great physician. And we commit her into you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the
Amen. Jesus, the light of the world. And if you have Jesus in you, what does that make you? You are the light. You are children of the light. Amen. Not of the night. You're children of the day. Praise the Lord. All hearts, minds clear. Continue to remember Sister Monica. Remember her in your prayers. She's going to have surgery tomorrow. So you just remember her in your prayers. That the Lord would just guide the hands of the doctors. Amen. She'd have a speedy recovery. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once more for the opportunity to serve you. We commit, Lord, our brothers and sisters now as they're heading out. Lord, protect them, Father. Keep them safe. Keep us all safe, Lord God, as we head to our respective places, Lord Jesus. Remember Sister Monica, Lord God, and you just be with her, Father, tomorrow as she'll have the surgery, Lord. Lord, may you guide the hands, Father, of the ones working, Father God, and the surgeons, Lord, and let everything go well, yes. Heavenly Father. And we just thank you, Father God, because we count it, Father, as it is already done, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you also once again. We praise you, Lord, for the report that was given to Brother Wade, Lord God. And we just appreciate you, Father, for you are our great physician. We ask you these things. We commit ourselves into you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.